Hi, this is Aaron Hart filling in for Jay. He's recuperating. We're going to play. Here's the thing. It's 6:07. I would love to hear from you because today we're going to, like, pretty much except for our music segment, it's all us. So we get to talk about whatever we've been storing up all week, whatever's been on your mind, whatever you want to talk about. And I want to talk about something I saw. I can't believe I was up last night for Jon Stewart, but I was, because I've had this weird sleep schedule where I get off here and I go home, I do some work, and then I go to sleep for a little while, and then I get up and I do some more work, and then I go back. So anyway, I'm doing my days in segments. So I was up at around 11, and I saw this interview with Jim Cramer of CNBC, because there's been a bit of a feud. I mean, Jon Stewart did a brilliant parody of CNBC earlier this week, maybe you caught it, about where he made fun of them for all the financial woes that they tout, you know, that they suck up to these CEOs, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, did they implode? Oh, did they lie to us? Oh, why is the economy tanking? You know, and shows like, I was watching Fast Money yesterday just to get an idea, because I hadn't watched the station in a while. And, you know, they talk so fast. And so one of the ways that Jon Stewart set up the interview was he was down in a basement, you know, like Rocky in the basement with a single light bulb. And he's, you know, he's in the sweats that a boxer would wear, and they're peppering him with, what's P&E, you know, price to earnings, what's this, what's that, what's derivatives, what's, you know, and they were reeling off all these complicated financial names at him, and he's answering them, and he goes, I'm ready, and he runs out, and then he interviews Jim Cramer, and we're going to be playing a substantial portion of it in segments, because I think everybody in America should hear this. I have a wicked media crush on Jon Stewart, like maybe half the planet, but, you know, he was brilliant last night. He was his great populist angry self. He was funny. He was acerbic as well. But he was in high dungeon last night. He was so angry. And to give Jim Cramer credit, Jim Cramer took it. Jim Cramer listened. Jim Cramer also looked very defensive and was I've never seen anyone render Jim Cramer speechless. Now, one of the ways that they set it up too, and I want to mention this because it was so funny, Jim Cramer, they go, how did Jim Cramer prepare? How did Jim Cramer get ready for our rumble? And they show Jim Cramer on Martha Stewart. He goes, kind of funny that she's the felon in the picture. You know what I mean? She's the one who did time for insider trading. And here's Jim Cramer on. So anyway, Jim Cramer was making a pie, and Martha Stewart very slyly said to him, I don't know, they could have cooked the whole thing up. But Martha Stewart looks at him and goes, so pretend your dough is Jon Stewart. And he takes his rolling pin and he just starts pounding it. Bam, 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 bam. As if he were hitting Jon Stewart upside the head. So it was very funny. We've got a treat in store with that. That's one thing on deck. The other thing on deck, we've got lots of stories to catch up on. We've got Obama's education plans. We've got the trial of Ward Churchill. We've got a lot of stuff to catch up on. Now, yesterday on Facebook, I was running a question, and I will be running another couple today on my Facebook page. And by the way, please use the instant message service of am760.net. That's am760.net. Just click the instant messages, and John forwards them right to me. So here's what I asked yesterday. Is the Republican Party imploding? And Ellen referred us to an NYT magazine cover on Newt. Says they never go away, do they? He's like the Terminator. They just keep rising from the dead. And Roger L. said, a fan from Denver for a long time, thank you, said, like being sucked into the object of an infinite mass, the black hole goes by the name of Rush Limbaugh. We can only hope. I do believe in two or more party system, but if the neocon movement deserves to go the way of the Whigs. Steve says, we can only hope. It's time for the Spinmeisters to go away. Newt will be around for a long while, and when he does go away, somebody else will surely love to be the mouthpiece of the conservatives. And Karen writes, I love the comment from a Democratic reporter on Countdown with Oberman. They, the Republicans, have undergone a philosophical vasectomy. Isn't it strange that they're imploding, just like the economic chaos they created? The only ones left standing, all they can say is no new taxes and pork. It's full of pork. That's so true, though. So those are some of the thoughts from prior week and some of the things we've been talking about. Obama, by the way, is on the spot. He may have to say gay partners can get health insurance in the federal government. Good. Finally. Hooray. So it's just, you know, it's about time. But it's another controversy on his plate. By the way, yesterday he proved again why he's the best president we've had in a really long time, a very, very, very long time. And he proved it yet again. He was appearing before the Business Roundtable in Washington, D.C., while, by the way, I might add, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, was down working it in North Carolina, appearing with Kermit the Frog and showing folks that the Obama administration has not forgotten the unemployed and the people who need help. Meantime, there is Barack Obama doing another one of his, "Hi, I'm a community activist, and this is what we look like," session with big business. And it was fascinating. It was so fascinating. I couldn't believe it. They were grilling him, you know, in that sort of business-like, snarky way where they were asking him questions like, "You're not going to really make us deal with carbon emissions, are you?" And, you know, the answer is, of course we are, damn it. But he answered in a very, he reflects, he's great. He's just such a community organizer. He reflects what he hears. He takes in, he makes the person who he's talking to realize that he's listening to them. And then he gives them feedback indicating, yep, well, I will listen to your concerns. But, you know, I am also going to make sure that the American people are taken care of. And it's just, it's really brilliant to watch. And one thing I realized yesterday, and maybe you realized that, you probably realized this a long time ago, but I realized yesterday that what he's really doing is he's modeling that the presidency is now back in our hands and that he's going to be our spokesperson on the front lines, that he's going to do the work. And you know, there he is. Extemporaneously, he doesn't have any notes that I can see answering complicated questions about health insurance, about carbon setback, about carbon offsets, about all kinds of different issues that are complex, about the economy, about Tim Geithner, who got grilled yesterday in Congress, and we can talk about that as well. But it's just amazing to me, point by point by point. I was so annoyed. I get so fascinated by him, even though, yeah, you know, he's such a law professor. And, you know, people criticize him. Oh, he's so lecturey, you know, and he made a joke about that. He said, you know, because somebody said, you're our model of hope. We need to have you. And he goes, well, I'm kind of the object of hope in chief, too. He's got such a really great sense of humor and of his presidency and of the American people. Do you know that I'm sure other presidents have done this too, but he, out of the 50,000 letters he gets a day, he has his staff give him 10, and he reads them every night, he says, before he goes to bed. And I believe him. He, you know, it's just, I know I sound like, I sound a little bit like Tatum O'Neill. Frank D. Roosevelt does this and that and this. But I really, I've got to say, in the movie she was in, the Depression era movie. So I believe that what we have here is a great president in the making. I really do. I got chills yesterday. And of course, you know, I was watching MSNBC because CNN had already departed to the talking yak fest, you know, blah, 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 blah. I think he said blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't want to hear what I think what he said. I want to hear him. So, you know, since we actually have a president who can speak and think, I would like to hear him. So I went to C-SPAN, and of course C-SPAN didn't have it. So I was like, oh no, now what do I do? And then I thought, aha, CNBC. And to give them credit, since I'm going to pick on them later, CNBC actually was still carrying, because it's the business roundtable, right? And they want to, you know, suck up to the businessmen. But they carried the rest of it live. And I was appreciative. Because you know what? He was answering a question about carbon offsets, and I wanted to hear him kind of slap the guy upside the head and say, yes, you, I know this will be expensive. And then he talked about what my father used to talk about, which was when Nixon created the EPA and the first rules were put into place that we were not going to be able to pour acid rain into the sky anymore. They squealed like, oh my God, you know, the sky is falling. We're never going to, it's going to rain acid rain. It's going to wash away our businesses. We're never going to survive. You know what we invented? Scrubbers. The American people are incredibly inventive, and we have cleaner air as a result. So don't tell me you can't do it, he basically responded. Here's how. And it was like, wow, that's my president. That's our president. That's a man who knows how to lead a country. What a relief. What a joy. I really can't say it enough. What a joy. What a pleasure. And I'm going to disagree with him down the line, but still, it's like, what a pleasure to have a president of the United States who actually understands the issues and can speak to them coherently and effectively on his feet in front of some of the toughest audiences he will face ever. It's just amazing. 303-713-7600. I'd love to get your feedback about that. We're going to play the Jon Stewart interview with Jim Cramer because you really have to hear it. And my question to you about that is, has big business been allowed to run amok? Is anybody in the media paying attention to them? Did we deserve better from the press and from business stations like CNBC? Or are they more or less PR mouthpieces for big biz? And if so, what hope do we have that anybody is ever going to be able to explain to us what's happening, other than some great financial reporters at the Washington Post, the New York Times, and occasionally the Wall Street Journal? 303s, oh, and The Economist. Well, there are several. But you have to read them, and let's face it, most people get their news from TV, don't they? 303-713-7600. John Turk, the hardest working man in show business, is standing by with Progressive Traffic. It's 303-713-7600. We're going to talk to a music critic today, but other than that, it is just us. It is open lines in Jay's tradition of open line Friday. I usually do that too, so I'm real when I have a full-time show, so I'm happy to do it. 6:22 it is in the morning. I'm Aaron Hart filling in for Jay this morning, and recover well, Jay. But we like to fill in for you too. Here's the thing. I got to play this Jon Stewart, Jim Cramer interview for you. It is about 8 minutes long. So what we're going to do is we're going to break it up in chunks and we're going to savor it and talk about it piece by piece, because it really is. Jon Stewart is very good at what he does, but he rarely goes off in high populist dungeon. And last night he was in full cry. And you could see this building because they really did a brilliant piece on how suck up CNBC really can be. And Fox News, their financial network is nothing. It really has no ratings, comparatively speaking. And CNN does some business stuff. But really, the main source for many people's advice on the stock market, and certainly Wall Street's, is CNBC with their cadre of reporters. And you remember the one who did the populist rant on the Chicago Board of Trade, I think, against Obama the other day. And by the way, he wasn't very accurate when he did it. So it's like they've run amok. And the other problem is where is the financial reporting? I know it's great to have some clever and great posts on there, and I know that they're about showbiz as much as financial information. But listen to what Jon Stewart says, because I think he's really making some great points in this particular interview. And we have a lot on our plate. We have Ward Churchill's trial coming up. If you've been paying attention to that, or are you like me? Frankly, here's what I think. It's like the guy plagiarized, got the hook. Oh, well. So what? I mean, I would have liked to have heard Hank Brown say, "I'm not anybody's pet poodle," in response to lawyer David Lane's questioning. But, you know, come on. To me, it's like, okay, he was fired and it was deserved and goodbye. 6:24 a.m. It's Aaron Hart filling in for Jay Marvin. And here is the clip. This is Jon Stewart's show last evening, appearing on it, Jim Cramer of CNBC and Mad Money fame.
Jim Cramer. So let me tell you why I think this thing has caught some attention. It's the gap between what CNBC advertises itself as and what it is. Okay. And the help that people need to discern this. Let me show you. This is the promo for your show.
Okay.
All right. So this is Jim Cramer's promo.
An economy in free fall. Investments on the brink. When you don't know what to do, don't panic. Cramer's got your back. Mad Money with Jim Cramer.
Isn't that, you know, look, we're both snake oil salesmen to a certain extent.
I'm not disagreeing.
But we do label the show as snake oil here. Isn't there a problem selling snake oil as vitamin tonic and saying that it cures impetigo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Isn't that the difficulty here?
I think that
there are two kinds of people. There are people who come out and they make good calls and bad calls, and they're financial professionals. And then there's the people who say they only make good calls, and they're liars. I try really hard to make as many good calls as I can.
I think the difference is not good call, bad call. The difference is real market and unreal market. Let me show you. This is you ran a hedge fund.
Yes, I did for many years.
All right.
You know, a lot of times when I was short at my hedge fund, and I was positioned short, meaning I needed it down, I would create a level of activity beforehand that could drive the futures. It doesn't take much money.
What does that mean?
Okay, this was a hyperbolic example of what I was trying to get people to. You had a great piece about short selling earlier.
Yes, that's
right. I've been trying to rein in short selling, trying to expose what really happens. This is what goes on. What I'm trying to say is, and I didn't do this, but I'm trying to explain to people, this is the shenanigans.
It sounded like you were talking about that you had done it.
Then I was inarticulate because I barely traded the futures. But I will say this. Mm-hmm. I am trying to expose the stuff, exactly what you guys do, and I'm trying to get the regulators to look at it.
Well, see, that's interesting. Roll 210.
Sure.
I would encourage anyone who's in the hedge fund to do it because it's legal.
Right.
And it's a very quick way to make money and very satisfying.
Okay.
By the way, no one else in the world would ever admit that, but I don't care.
That's right, and you can say that here.
I can't. I'm not going to say it on TV.
Show on TV now.
I want the Jim Cramer on CNBC to protect me from that Jim Cramer.
Stop it. Yeah, I want that, the Jim Cramer that's on TV. I want him to protect me, too. I like Jim Cramer. I'm reading his books now to try to get some understanding of the stock market and how to better invest and protect my investments. But you know what? You know, that snarky bragging that, you know, and he'll talk about driving a stock down, and it's like, eh. And this is part of what they were doing. They were just unfettered greed, running amok, playing like 14-year-old boys with our money. And that's the thing that gets me. When we watch Madoff, Bernard Madoff, frog marched off to jail yesterday, and hallelujah, they revoked his bail because he's a flight risk, and they stuck his behind to wait for sentencing, and I hope he stays there. You know, being able to sit around in your penthouse in New York City is not my idea of punishment. You know, it's like, hello, look at this. Please, please face facts. This is what should be happening. This is what needs to be doing. Is that this man needs to be frog marched off to jail. And by the way, he's staying in the same kind of prison where some of our most notorious prisoners have stayed, including Sheikh Omar. And he needs to be in that little 8.5 by 12-foot cell with a toilet without a lid and sitting there with a bunk bed and in cinder blocks and surrounded by nothing with only 3 hours a day of walking around time. You know, he gets, I guess, 300 minutes a month to talk on the phone. And you know what? Good. Restrict him. He was so shameful yesterday with his mealy-mouthed apology. It's like you knew what you were doing and you sat there and you cheated widows and orphans and people in retirement. You know, you cheated people who ran funds, you know, who may have had wealthy clients. But, you know, just because people are wealthy doesn't necessarily mean they're smart about investing. And they didn't figure out that Bernard Madoff was a fake. A couple of reporters did, but nobody listened to them. And that's part of our problem, too, is that because money isn't sexy and because a lot of us, let's face it, are ignoramuses when it comes to the terms. That's why I'm trying to educate myself. It's out of self-defense. You know, it is incredible to me that these people were allowed to manufacture businesses out of air, out of air. I mean, you know, you knew when you saw your mortgage resold and stuff, you knew that, oh, wow, why are they reselling it so quickly? You know, it is the sin of short-term gain over long-term planning. And that has been a problem in big business for as long as I can remember. I've been railing about it as a talk show host throughout my entire career. When you think only of short-term gain and your gain and games and your golden parachute, then you're cheating everyone in your company, all your stockholders, all your employees. And when you collect 350 times what somebody on your line is making, then you're a fraud because nobody is that smart. Now, I like making a lot of money as much as the next girl, but let me tell you something. There is something distinctly immoral about the kinds of money that has been made by big business in this country. And again, I'm all for entrepreneurship. I'm all for people making money. I am not against it at all. But when you have people creating a world where nothing is founded in fact and everything is a big game in order to try, and they don't even understand it. Michael, I can't remember his last name, who wrote Liar's Poker, wrote about this at length, I believe, in Vanity Fair recently, where he just said, these guys don't even understand what they're doing. They don't understand it. So how can you hope to? 303-713-7600. I want your thoughts on the economy today, because we are in a rally, so maybe we're all feeling a little better in the pits of our stomach, and it's easier to talk about this stuff maybe when we're a little up rather than so far down. I don't think we're out of the bear market, though. I don't think the bear is off his hind legs yet. But on the other hand, that's just my opinion, personal opinion. I am not a captain of industry. But you know what? I do have a lot of common sense. And one thing I do know is when you base stuff on error, that's what happens when you pull the rug out. You know, it's like the emperor's got no clothes. It's like, oh, really? So we'll listen to more of Jon Stewart and Jim Cramer coming up. It's 6:32 in the morning in the Mile High. It's cold and crispy, but we're looking at the weekend weather. So join us at 303-713-7600. Stand by for Progressive Traffic with John Turk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart filling in for Jay. It's 6:37 in the morning. Check us out on Facebook. Also go to am760.net. I've got some questions posed for you. I'm not on Twitter today, though. I don't know whether I'm going to Twitter today, but I might. The reality is, I think one of we're talking about Jim Cramer and CNBC in general, because in all fairness, Cramer's a showman. That's what he does. He's all over the map sometimes. And Jon Stewart's calling him to the carpet. And to give him credit, at least he's appearing on Jon Stewart and answering him and talking about his various positions on things, which to give him credit for, good, hats off. Maybe he will get better on his show. I don't know. I'll be interested to see Mad Money today and see what happens if I get a chance to watch it. I'm out and about a lot today. But you know, maybe I'll catch up with the podcast over the weekend, because I really think it's important that we get the straight information now. If anything, this crisis has taught us that we deserve better from our financial reporters. Mick in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good.
Aaron, you know, I just wanted to quickly call in. One of the things that a lot of people are becoming more aware of is that when you listen just about to anyone that speaks on these shows and go on, you know, like the Sunday talking head shows, when they start talking about the economy and, the investment, the world of investment, let's put it that way, hardly anybody out there can really take the information and digest it and come to any clear-cut understanding of what people are talking about. The American public just doesn't have that level of understanding, of knowledge, and the terminology that comes out is just endless. Bombard you with a lot of terms.
Absolutely.
That you have to go and look up sometimes, and sometimes it's really hard to look up because it's so new that there's really no
They talk an insider lingo that's one of the most boring parties I've ever been to in my life was a party for guys on Wall Street, you know, and they were handsome, but all they did was talk fast and check their phones every 5 minutes and their Blackberries and like, blah, 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 you know, and you're like, and all they cared about was money, 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 making money fast, making money fast, making money faster, making money faster. And it's like, okay, see you later. So I think one of the things that they get into, and it's addictive, you know what I mean? You can tell the excitement on the floor. If you've ever been to the trading floor, you can see it. It's palpable. It's like being at a It's like being at a sporting event where people are all jazzed up and screaming and yelling.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an incredible narcotic.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's what they did. They had a massive drug binge on our watch. The only trouble is they weren't playing with their own money. They were playing with ours.
Yeah, with,
and that's what's criminal. That's why these people should be frog marked off to jail. And even Jim Cramer agrees many of them should go to jail.
I agree with you. I got to put it this way, simply. My grandfather didn't have a huge education, not very much, actually. And he'd say, look, if you're going somewhere and you're talking to a salesman, and that's what these guys basically are down, you know, they're just trying to sell you, as John Stewart was saying, you know, we're snake oil salesmen.
Right.
He would say, look, if you go to a salesman and he starts throwing out all these words and you're kind of like, what exactly is this? And you have to ask him three times, what do you mean? You walk away from that guy because, number one, what he's giving you is a big line of BS. And it was really funny going to buy a car with my grandfather back in the 50s because he got a young salesman who started throwing out all of these terms that actually, you know, were just false terms, that nothing but basically lies. My grandfather knew better and played along with them. And at the very end, he just said, everything that you've told me here is nothing but BS. And I won't buy a car from you. And the guy was like, he spent a half hour with him throwing out all of these Throgmorton evaporators and all
right,
in a car.
Right.
And my grandfather, who was a mechanic,
yeah,
exactly, that didn't exist.
Exactly. See, and this is the, thank you, Mick, so much for your call. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
And this is part of the problem. We need to do our due diligence because, you know what, they're not going to protect our behinds. They're just not going to do it. I wish I could say another word that begins with A and ends with S, but I'm not, you know, that word's not frowned upon on radio, I guess. But, you know, it's like, you know, the reality is we need to protect our assets. And the way that you do that, I figured out a way to say it, is that we've got to have financial literacy. One of the things on my list to do this spring is to go out and take a financial literacy class. I mean, I took some business courses. I'm beginning to understand more about the tips of the iceberg. But, you know, the reality is they're probably not going to dumb it down for us. I wish they would. And I don't mean dumb it down, really, because to tell you the truth, I'm with Mick's grandfather. Unless you can explain it in very clear, simple terms, then it's probably some sort of scam. Isn't it? I mean, that's the reality, isn't it? 303-713-7600. Yesterday, John Turk sent me an article from U.S. News and World Report. These are, you know, a lot of big companies are in danger. And on the list, Advanced Micro Devices, AirTran, the parent of American Airlines, JetBlue, United Airlines, Chrysler, Duane Reade, Eastman Kodak, Ford, General Motors, Krispy Kreme, oh no, Palm, R.H. Donnelly, Reader's Digest, Rite Aid, U.S. Airways, Unisys. I mean, are we going to just watch our entire, you know, and in malls, you know, you won't be seeing Linen and Things anymore or Circuit City. It's like Brookstone looks like it's in jeopardy. So does Barney's. Eddie Bauer has been in trouble off and on for years. So Lehman, so what are we going to do? So, you know, this is the kind of thing that we're facing. And locally, oh my goodness gracious, look at the Rocky Mountain News. I mean, my mother worked for the Rocky Mountain News. And to see that paper fail, my sister and I and my brother, we all got on email together and we were like, oh my gosh. And I have to say, let me say two things about that because I've been remiss in not mentioning this. Because I'm a Colorado long-term resident off and on, and I love our state in many, many ways. It is an amazing state. And to see a paper that's been in business as long as my ancestors have been in Colorado, it was really sickening to me. I mean, really awful. To say nothing of the fact that I have been a journalist most of my working life, and it is really, really scary to see newspapers disappearing off the face of the earth. I mean, yesterday we talked to a news reporter for the Los Angeles Times that reminded us why newspapers are so key. And if you didn't think so, look at the passing of James Meadow, who died in a tragic bike accident. I mean, I can't believe he died doing what he loves at Chatsworth Dam, but still, it's like, ah! You know, just hearing about his death and reading about it, and also reading Bill Husted's moving words about it. I have to say, Bill Husted can be somewhat of a smart aleck, but I just to hear that and just so I just want to say farewell, James Meadow. You know, the Rocky didn't outlast you, but you bear. You know, it's a tragedy. I need to mention it because I note both passings, and it's really sad. Mike in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning, I think. It is Friday, though.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, hi, Mike.
Hey, you pointed at this, and one of your other callers pointed at this, and it was about education, and I just wanted to call. I'm actually a business teacher, and part of the problem with this is that, you know, the state's finally waking up and saying, hey, financial literacy needs to be taught. But they can't decide who's going to teach it, and this is important stuff. It's not on CSAPs, it's not on ACTs, it's not on anything. And so, you know, we're just an elective course. And so I think part of it is education.
I think it has to be a requirement.
Yeah, it absolutely has to be a requirement.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing, like, where I saw the interview with Jim Cramer, and, you know, people are mad. People are really mad.
Yes,
they weren't
we
mad
are.
5 years ago, though, when the market was going up. And I think this is also part of it, too, is that, you know, I'm a Ron Paul Republican, or a Ron Paul kind of conservative. You know, I don't believe in any of the neocon stuff, but the whole system with the Federal Reserve and making easy money and that kind of stuff, it's a scam. We got to go back to, you know, the gold standard, and he was the only politician that called it right and who was honest with everybody. Get the power out of the hands of all the bankers and give it to the people. So,
yeah, and I'm not sure I can go that far with you, but on the other hand, I definitely think we have to have more financial literacy, and I do believe in credit markets, and I do believe in international trade and all those things, but I also think we have to have laws and regulations. I think that's why the market surged this week, by the way, is because Ben Bernanke talked about mark-to-market marketing and accounting, rather, and talked about returning to a day of regulation, which anybody who watched Bernard Madoff frog marked off to jail this week should be doing cartwheels about, because we need it back. Taking all those rules and laws off that and allowing them to just behave like children, greedy little children, sticking their faces in a pie. Only the pie was metaphorical. That still boggles my mind that they did this with people's retirement.
And another big thing, too, is that, you know, a lot of people complain about, you know, this being a problem with the free market. Well, you look at any major industry. The media. There's like five media companies out there, and all the board members are on the board members of defense companies.
Everybody else's companies, yep.
And this is a problem where the government lets these companies merge and allows these board members to be on multiple boards. Like, so I blame it more on them, but...
No, yeah. I understand what you're saying. They're all in this sort of insider's club. And one of the things Cramer kept saying in his defense last night, if you noticed, was, well, I knew the guy. I'd known him for 20 years. I didn't know he was lying to me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know you guys build this stuff on personal relationships like we all do. But you know what? If you're basing a personal relationship and you still know you're sitting on a sand pit, you know, a quicksand, then admit it's quicksand and get your legs out of it. You know what I mean? It's like, hello.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's easy to say in hindsight, you know, because there were rumblings. I did sense some of this coming because I looked at my adjustable rate mortgage. I think it was in 2005, if I'm remembering correctly. It might have been 2006, but I think it was 5. And I just went, you know, this is wrong. I got to get out of this right now. I do not feel good about this. And thank God I refinanced because I got a fairly good recent interest rate, which is helping me out now. But,
yeah.
You know, I've still had to rely too far on credit in terms of things like basic things like health insurance and earthquake insurance. That's dumb. I know that. But you know what? Jobs have been scarce. I've been laid off more in the last 5 years than I have in my previous life as a worker. You know what I mean? And
well,
it's not me. It's the economy.
Everybody listening should call up their representatives and say, we need this talk, period.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, get it on a CSAP. Get it on something if that's what it needs, so we can be you know, looked at as being legit and all that kind of stuff. But
no, amen, brother. We definitely do. And if we're going to have a complicated system like this, then we better be preparing people to deal with it. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. We're going to dance to a break right now, but I really want to hear from you. We're going to play more of the Jim Cramer and Jon Stewart interview coming up. All that and more on J. Marvin Show. I'm Aaron Hart filling in. It's 6:50, and now it's time for you, John, and Progressive Traffic.
Well, it's...
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Jay is recuperating from surgery, and I'm filling in. It's 54 past the hour, and I'd love to talk to you. We're going to play a little bit more of that Jon Stewart, Jim Cramer interview, and we're going to talk about it on the other side of the news. A couple of things that caught my eye, too, is an editorial in the New York Times today saying everyone is fiddling while we're actually investing in trying to make the economy better, as in Europe and Japan. Are they doing enough to carry the world weight on their shoulders? They think not, and you know what? I don't either. So I'm wondering what you think about that, and here's more of Jon Stewart and Jim Cramer, and then we'll talk about it coming out after the news. We'll be back briefly, too. Here it is.
Roll 210.
Sure. I would encourage anyone who's in the hedge fund to do it, because it's legal,
right?
And it's a very quick way to make money, and very satisfying.
Okay.
By the way, no one else in the world would ever admit that, but I don't care.
That's right, and you can say that here.
I can't. I'm not going to say it on TV.
Show on TV now.
I want the Jim Cramer on CNBC to protect me from that Jim Cramer.
I think the way you do that is to show, okay, that's... The regulators watch the tape. They realize the shenanigans that goes on. They can go after this. Now, they didn't catch Madoff. That's
a
shame.
But when you talk about the regulators, why not the Financial News Network? That's the whole point of this.
Okay.
CNBC could be an incredibly powerful tool of illumination for people that believe that there are two markets. One that has been sold to us as long-term. Put your money in 401ks, put your money in pensions, and just leave it there. Don't worry about it. It's all doing fine. Then there's this other market, this real market that's occurring in the back room, where giant piles of money are going in and out, and people are trading them, and it's transactional, and it's fast, but it's dangerous, it's ethically dubious, and it hurts that long-term market. So what it feels like to us, and I'm speaking purely as a layman, it feels like we are capitalizing your adventure.
There we go.
By
I'm sorry, I kind of stepped on Jon Stewart, so we'll play that. We'll back up a little bit and play it. But you see, this is what they're capitalizing your adventure. That's what we feel like we're doing. We're just pawns in your game. We're sitting here giving you our hard-earned dough, expecting to retire. You know, and this brings to mind George W. Bush and his plan to privatize Social Security. Remember that one? It's like, you know, and I keep going back to Al Franken, bless him, and I hope he gets to sit in his Senate seat soon. Remember when he kept repeating his, you know, Franny and I are in government bonds. You know, we believe in the securities and we believe in the Social Security. It may only grow 2%, but it's growing 2%. It's not tanking 50%. You know, now I have nothing against the stock market. I'm going to invest again. I'm still in one that I can't get out of. And the reality is, or I don't think I can, although I'm beginning to read things like, you better cut your losses. It is so, look, you got to be balanced. You got to have your eggs in many baskets. But what if you don't have enough eggs? This is part of the problem. You know what I mean? It's like nobody, you know, and I learned how to balance my own check, but I learned a lot of economics 101 by flying by the seat of my pants as a young person, you know, and I made some mistakes. I screwed up. I had to pay some people back because I got in over my head with credit, and that's why I try never ever to do it again, and I try to use my credit very judiciously these days. But on the other hand, you know, we live in a very complicated world, and it's getting more expensive by the minute, and I believe in having health care because I don't want to become a burden on society, but or my family, but on the other hand, What are you supposed to do when it climbs up into carving such a big portion out of your budget that you don't know what to do anymore? And that's what we're the position we're in, and that's what Jon Stewart knows, and apparently the captains of industry and Jim Cramer don't necessarily. 303-713-7600. I want to talk to you coming right back on the J. Marvin Show. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in, and we'll be back coming up.